Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark realm, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace to all who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Great to see you all. Now, before we do anything else, we're going to pray in a moment, but I just wondered whether we could just read this piece of scripture together as a community whose identity is in Jesus. So, after me. And I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely, as I should. I'd like you to just stew on that scripture, just think it over, as we spend the next 10, 15 minutes or so going through this. Can everybody hear me? All right, that's better. The microphones and beards don't always go all that well. So anyway, before we go any further, let's pray. Let's give thanks to this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. We've come to the final part of our study on this piece of scripture. So let's just give thanks. Lord, we give thanks for your word. We give thanks for this letter to the Ephesians. Thank you for so many things in it that we've unpacked in recent times. Thank you for the spiritual blessing and our identity in Christ. Thank you that we are part of the same body in Christ. Thank you that we are saved through the grace found in Christ and for your instructions on how to live in Christ. May our meditations and my words be pleasing to you, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. So I've recently been on retreat, and I went up to the High Peaks. So I managed to walk a few hills as well, which was really nice. Luckily, the weather was good. Now, if you're going to go walking in the hills, most people would agree that you've got to have the right kit. It's not advisable to go up a fell or a mountain or a hill without the right kit. Although in summer I have seen the odd person with flip-flops attempting to scale Scarfell Pike, which is probably not a good idea. So the kit we use is really important. But there'd be no point jumping in the car, driving up to the High Peaks with a bunch of other folk to climb a hill, getting out with all your new kit, agreeing that it's good kit, and then getting back in the car and driving home. You're not using the equipment that you've got. It's sort of a bit like the saying, all the gear with no idea. So the kit is really important. Now, I wanted to use my walking boots as a prop this morning, and coming back from a shopping trip yesterday with Emma, my wife, and Imi, my daughter, I said, oh, no, I forgot to clean my walking boots. I want to use them as a prop this morning. And they said, well, why would you want to clean them? It shows that they've been used. And that's good, isn't it? So a muddy pair of walking boots. The equipment we have and the armour that God gives us is there to be used. There's no point in us reading this scripture and doing nothing with it. There's no point us reading this scripture and kind of when we walk out the door, it's gone. So preparing for fearless battle using the armour of God is what it's about. We use the right equipment, the equipment that God has given us, the armour of God. And the great thing at the beginning of this piece of scripture, in God's mighty power. Isn't that amazing? God's mighty power is the man who created, the God that made this world, put the stars in the sky. We have his mighty power at our disposal, and particularly through donning the armour of God, the right equipment, the right kit for us. So what equipment do we have at our disposal so that we can make our stand, as Paul puts it, against the devil's scheme, the devil's schemes? I want to use an analogy that's used on an Alpha course. When you hear the word devil, Satan, what comes into your mind? Because Satan, the devil, is no more a man in a red suit with little horns and an arrow-shaped tail than God is a chap with a long flowing white beard sitting on a cloud. That characterism of the devil is sometimes misleading. I like what the author of Job says about the devil. One day the angel, this is Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. One day the angels came to be present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." And that's, I think, a much better, he's far more subtle. He likes to put the chip on the shoulder. Sow the wrong idea. He's the greatest tempter, and he's stealth-like. So I think that's a much better description of the devil. And to use another analogy that's used in Alpha, when the Allied forces landed on the beach of Normandy, it was essentially the beginning of the end. It wasn't quite the end, but it was the beginning of the end. And there was a series of mopping up that needed to be done. And we're kind of in that place now. The devil has lost all of his main power, and it's unhealthy to have too much interest in him because the battle is won. But nevertheless, he's still got the capability of kind of leading us in the wrong way, making us feel bad about ourselves. If you ever feel condemned, it's never, ever God. It's always Satan. Paul calls for the armour of God. Six pieces of essential equipment. Number one, the belt of truth. The truth of the Christian message. The truth of the Christian message. The truth of good news. The belt that holds everything together. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Our justification and virtue in our identities with Jesus. Our justification and virtue in our identities in Jesus. Because we have been made right through him in the eyes of God the Father. This protects us from the full frontal attacks of the devil. Don't believe his lies, because we don the breastplate of righteousness. We are justified in and through Jesus. Don't believe the lies. Number three, the gospel of peace. The message of peace with God and peace between previously hostile groups. Earlier on in this letter, Paul talks about one new humanity in God, where we used to be at enmity, but now the grand narrative of the Bible, of God's people, of the initial chosen people, Israelite people, and now we are all part of one new humanity in God. We are not to be hostile amongst each other. We are not to be hostile about disagreements in doctrine. We have to quote Justin Welby, disagree well on these things. Because in often many of these things, there won't be a straight-edged, easy-to-answer solution to a lot of the things the church is chewing over now. The gospel of peace. Number four, the shield of faith. Belief in Jesus as our risen Lord. Our faith in Jesus and our loyalty to him will shield us from Satan's flaming arrows. The fiery arrows of temptation, of doubt and despair that are extinguished by our faith of an eternal future with and in Jesus. The next piece of kit, number five, the helmet of salvation. The belief that we have been saved in Jesus. The belief that we have been saved in Jesus. We have been saved from the ultimate enemy of death. The helmet of salvation protects us from secondary attacks of the devil. Battle that's already been done, as we've talked about, we're still in the period of mopping up. And the sword of the Spirit. Number six. The Word of God. The Bible. Our ultimate offensive weapon against the devil. Of course, here Apostle Paul is talking about selected Old Testament texts, possibly some texts in and around Isaiah 49:2. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword in the shadow of his hand. He hid me, he made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. In addition, the word of God can be wielded by his messengers. That's us. That's us. In the lives as we approach and seek the lost and get alongside others, in the communities where we live in the workplaces where you attend, wherever you teach, wherever you socialise, whoever you meet on the street. The Bible, it's all in there. So in short, the scripture, both Old Testament and now New Testament, enabled by the Holy Spirit, in the hands of those who follow Christ, that's us, is both an offensive and defensive weapon against the schemes of the devil. So how does it feel to be equipped in this way? To be armed and equipped, but for what? How will you use the armour of God? How will we rely on the armour of God and do good when clothed with the armour of God? Let's remind ourselves about who we are here at CTK. We are a community of disciples on an adventure together to become more like Jesus. And here's the really good bit. Helping others to do the same. I would suggest that helping others to do the same in this time of Advent, as we wait and watch for the birth of Jesus, our Saviour, to celebrate that. A community of disciples on an adventure together, becoming more like Jesus and helping others to do the same. So to focus just a moment on this piece of scripture. We use the armour of God when we pray. We use the armour of God when we pray. What if we all just thought of two people? More would be even better, of course. Two people or more who don't know Jesus and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, in the knowledge of the truth of the message, the belt of truth, in the knowledge that you are justified in Jesus, the breastplate of righteousness, in the belief that you are truly saved, and through our identity in Jesus, the helmet of salvation, and longing to see these people, family, spouses, friends, work colleagues, come to faith. So they can be saved too from the ultimate enemy of death using the armour of God
to keep on praying for these people. And of course, all of the Lord's people, and in the old version of the NIV, the saints. Isn't that good? It's good to look out. Do you feel like a saint? You are. You're saints. We use the armour of God to stay alert, using your belief in Jesus as your risen Lord, the shield of faith, to protect you from worldly diversions, the flaming arrows of the enemy, to be on the lookout and alert for the lost in readiness, and when the time is right, to use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy, because the word enables us to teach, rebuke, correct, and train in righteousness. And here's the good bit. So that God's servants may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. And finally, we use the armour of God in fearless declaration. We use the armour of God in fearless declaration. In fearless declaration of the mystery of the gospel, as Paul puts it. In verse 19. When equipped with the armour of God, we should not fear telling others the good news, the gospel of peace, the message of peace with God, and the message of peace and unity within the body of Christ. That's us. In addition, we are fortified, encouraged, and enlightened by the sword of the Spirit, by Scripture, the Bible, the ultimate asset for evangelism, for teaching others. In Hebrews 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." The word of God is alive and active. That's good news. So fearless, faithful, encouragement from the messenger. As Paul says, it's not just him, he is releasing others. He calls Tychicus a messenger. It's important. And the reason why that's important, Paul's in prison, he needs others. So the armour for God is not just for clergy to use. We'd be in trouble. We'd be in serious trouble if that was the case. It's not just for church leaders to use. No, it's not even for just established church members to use. It's for everybody whose name and identity is in Jesus. It's for everybody to use. It is for everyone who's accepted Jesus as their saviour and are in turn faithful servants of the Lord. So, this Advent, we wait and pray in anticipation and celebration of the birth of Jesus. But also, will we be encouraged, particularly in this season, where the world is shifting and we perhaps don't know what the immediate future looks like. Will we, however, be encouraged? Will we be bold? Will we seek others in the knowledge of these things? Through prayer, by staying alert, and in fearless declaration, by putting on the full armour of God, so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. I was trying to think of a way to finish this because we're at the end of this series. And I can think of no better way than just to quote the Apostle Paul, how he ends this letter. Let's pray. Peace to you, brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an underlying love. Amen.